Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, and this is Alex Bonamon, Senior Focus, and today I'll be talking to Associate Professor Alan Wang from the University of Auckland about some incredible ageing research that is being co-created with seniors themselves. Alan is an expert in technology and AI and the brain, and so very, very excited to have him here today. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Alex.
So tell me a little bit more about your role as the theme lead for technology engineering and digital economy at C-Create Age.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alex. My role in Co-Create Aging Center at the University of Auckland is more related to innovative technology, including the digital technology, artificial intelligence technology, and also the sensor technologies. So our research specifically is more related to applying artificial intelligence for medical data analysis, and such as the medical multimodal medical data, such as medical imaging, MRI, CT, for accurate diagnosis of different kinds of disease, and also the prognosis for the development and the prediction for the recovery. And my application affiliation with the Co-Create Aging Center, we try to propose this kind of applying the advanced digital and artificial intelligence technology to improve the aged care, rehabilitation, and also the digital health. So the Co-Create Aging Center actually formed a close collaboration between researchers, clinicians, and also the industry partner to develop the AI-driven solution for the healthy aging and also aging at home.
Righty-ho, there's a lot in there, and it all sounds very technical. So why would someone who is getting older be interested in what this sort of technology can do for them? And should they be excited about it, or is it actually a bit terrifying and mean they'll never see a real human being again?
I think for the elderly getting aging, actually, if they live alone, actually, they may require a different kind of technology to support, for example, for the early detection of different kind of problems, for example, memory decline, or even fall down, or uterine tract infection, different kind of things. Actually, the artificial intelligence technologies potentially can be utilized. And this kind of technology could be low cost. And then if we can apply this kind of technology to address the aging challenges, for example, we hope that there is a growing demand for better healthcare, independent living, and also the relevant support systems. I think the traditional aged care models are, in my opinion, is more resource intensive. Now we think we can utilize some technology-driven solutions. We can potentially, this kind of solution can assist seniors in maintaining independence and also improve the quality of life.
So are these sorts of technological initiatives things that seniors are calling out for? Or is it a way to save money, or are they more effective? Is it something that older people appreciate and want? What's the value for them?
I think both, actually. They can be cost effective. Another thing is that for the because the Co-Create Aging Center, the co means that we define the researcher directions or research questions with the seniors. The seniors can propose what are really needed in their daily life. Then we can work on this kind of digital or intelligent solution together. It means that we try to utilize the limited resource the work on the specific research questions that are really needed by the society. And I think this kind of open to research new ideas from the senior community that enable some new research development, new research discussion, which can be very suitable to the requirement of New Zealand elderly society.
Okay, so what sort of challenges particularly have been raised in the New Zealand context that either seniors or researchers working with them would like to address through this research?
I can share some of my understanding. I think New Zealand, besides the urban cities, there are also some rural areas. In this kind of distant areas, then, if the elderly are living alone, then the intelligent technologies and also the sensor technologies, the digital technologies, can be utilized to improve for the convenient communications with caregivers or the family members, and also the intelligent technologies can be utilized to detect or early detection of the different kind of problem. For example, mild cognitive impairment. This kind of thing that cannot be that obvious, but the intelligent technologies that can be applied that can increase this kind of alert so that they can spend enough time to take some actions, precautions for this kind of potential issue.
So if I understand correctly, you can identify earlier dementia or Alzheimer's, and by doing that, you can take action which slows down the onset of these conditions. Is that right?
I think that for some, yes, it's true, potentially. For example, for dementia, there are different kinds of dementia. For example, the vascular dementia, Alzheimer's dementia, Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal lobe dementia, different kinds of subtypes. For different subtypes, the intervention could be different. So we need to rely on the artificial intelligence and also the medical multimodal medical data to differentiate this kind of subtype. This is can enable the personalized intervention. Another thing is potentially we can early detect this kind of issue, then the intervention can be placed maybe 5 years or 10 years before the really onset of the cognitive or degenerative issue.
Okay, so are you saying that it could sort of like pick up on very, very early stages, a bit like I think I've heard about breast cancer, yeah, that, you know, that the AI can pick it up far earlier than the person can, and maybe others around them, and then they can do some interventions that could be helpful. So could you tell me what sort of interventions might be helpful?
Oh, the intervention. There are different kinds of intervention. It could be, for example, play some games, and then the games are specifically designed, then they can enhance, for example, the memory functions or attention functions, and this is one way. Another is exercise. So we have done one project about Tai Chi or yoga, this kind of mind and body balance exercise. Our findings between the two groups, one is the non-exerciser, the other is the routine exerciser. We found that the routine exerciser can preserve the motor function, the memory function, and looks like their brain are younger in comparison with their real age. So potentially, yeah, I think different kind of very low cost interventions can be applied.
Those interventions sort of sound like a good thing anyway. Playing games and having exercise, it feels like it's always a good idea.
Yeah, it's very low cost, but in my opinion, that sometimes this kind of a potential risk are overlooked. They don't know or they should take this kind of action early before the onset.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit more about C-Create Age and how it works. I think seed funding research projects. Could you tell us what the seed funding process is and what's the long-term aspiration of C-Create Age?
Oh, yes. I think the Co-Create Aging Center is a very nice design that we co means that we really work together. Not only, previously we mainly mentioned multidisciplinary research collaboration, but in Co-Create Aging Center, we emphasize that we work with the community, we work with the aging society together, so that we really encourage the co-creation where the seniors, the researchers, and the healthcare providers can work together to shape the research project. And the IDG Research Development Group, we every year we call for this kind of applications, then the funding researcher can directly benefit the seniors. For example, AI in aged care, smart home technologies, or some innovations in rehabilitation. There could be any ideas related to potentially beneficial research for seniors. And it's very open for the new ideas from the senior community. We really encourage the senior society can propose, can initiate some research discussion.
So my mother, actually, I was talking to her about this project and said it was being co-designed with older people, you know, and asked her what sort of issues she felt that should be addressed. And she said that she remembers her mother, and apparently my father does this too, is leave little pills behind them around the house because the pills are very small and they find it quite hard to pick them up and to see them, to put them into their little pill boxes. So some of them get dropped. And she wondered whether there could be some research on making pills a bit larger so that it was easier for older people to pick them up and to see them and to put them in their boxes. What do you think, Ellen? Is that the sort of thing you have in mind?
I think there could be different kinds of solutions, but one solution quickly came to my mind is that for the augmented reality, it's a new technology. For example, it could be utilizing the mobile phone or utilizing the very low cost augmented glasses. The glass looks like the normal glasses, but it's intelligent glass. They can record what happened, and also they can give us a reminder. It could be the text reminder, or it could be the audio reminder. For example, for your mother's case, if she forgot the location for the pill, then the intelligent augmented reality glasses definitely know the location, can give a reminder on where it is stored, and even a reminder when it's time to take the pills. If for some elderly, if they can lost their keys, they cannot find their keys, again, this kind of glass can remind. And also for the lost direction, if they went out, they lost direction, they cannot find a way to go home, then again, this kind of glasses can give a reminder to the left or right. I think potentially a lot of things that can be done with the support of this kind of AI and also very low-cost sensor or augmented reality technology.
It seems extraordinary to think of augmented reality as being a cheap technology, low cost, because it sounds so futuristic.
I think the cost is getting lower and lower with the advancement of the technology.
So in places like Japan, I think there's an increasing use of robotics to support people who live alone. Is that part of our future?
I think it's true. You see, for the robotic, it could be some basic conversation robotic. If the elderly are living alone, then they can discuss, they can talk about what happened in their old time. And also, they can give, suggestions. And, for example, what time should do exercise, what time average for them to take pills. And also, I think for the robotics, can do other things more than the basic communication. And nowadays, I think everybody has a mobile phone. In my, every home, actually, even everybody can have a private robot, very similar to mobile phone. Then we can download different kind of apps for the robotic. Then the robot can do different kinds of things for us, can help us prepare the meals, can help us do some gardening. All these kinds of things will happen very soon. The reason is that if the intelligence is there, the image processing, video processing, the object detection, all these kinds of technologies are very mature. And it's very similar to the, I think, to the car. So the in the near future, the robotic will come to us very soon, and the cost will be very low and very intelligent, very capable.
I have always liked the idea of having someone at home who does a number of the things that I find boring, but who also might be nice company when I want it, not necessarily when I don't want it. I was listening to the BBC series, I think it was BBC, might have been Guardian, which was about AI. It's called The Black Box. It was a series of podcasts, and one of them was about intimate companions. I think this was just a voice, an AI voice, but over time, over a couple of years, people were training up their companions to sort of become their ideal friends, and the AI was learning the sort of thing that their owner like to talk about, or their sense of humor. And they ended up becoming quite close. You know, some of the people involved became quite close to their AI companions because they were sort of everything you wanted from a friend, but then you could sort of turn it off. Wasn't needy at all. So I'm just wondering whether you think robots could potentially take that role, not a real friend exactly, but adjacent. What do you think?
I think the robot can be a very nice companion, and the robot can be very knowledgeable and very capable and very friendly. But another thing I think we also need to consider is ethical. Consideration. Yeah, I think for all the AI research and robotic research, we need to definitely consider the ethical things. So I think researchers are spending a lot of time and effort to make it more robust for this kind of research. In terms of the technology's capability, I think it's very close to us, and it could be very friendly, user-friendly. But in my opinion, it will happen definitely. It will come to us in very short time. It could be the very basic voice, for example, the speech conversation. It could also be gentle basic jobs for us. It is there, actually, no matter what kind of consideration, for example, the cost or the capability or the ethical consideration. In my opinion, it will happen very soon.
There's something about needing to be needed, though, isn't there? You know, I wonder what would it be like if we were not really needed as human beings? Is that something that is being researched? Do you know?
I don't know too much about this, actually. Yeah, but in terms of technology level, I think it's very capable. Because every day we are trying different deep learning models and machine learning models. So we can see the potential, for example, for the medical data analysis, our segmentation accuracy using AI algorithm can be comparable, sometimes even superior to the animations in some aspect. And also for the brain imaging data, for example, it is three-dimensional, very high resolution. A lot of information are there. It's difficult for the radiologists or neuro radiologists to count how many walks or the, you know, specific region, for example, within a lesion. But for the computer, they can finish this kind of job, a very tedious job, so efficiently. And then they can report the values with a very high repeatability. So every time they can report the same values accurately. But this kind of thing is difficult for the human being. I believe the AI and the robot can definitely have a very obvious advantage. But the problem is how we are going to use it, how we are going to leverage this kind of advantage for helping our senior society.
So I shall pivot slightly. So I know that this program has been going for a little while. Could you tell us a bit about some of the research projects that have been seed funded, where the ideas have come from the seniors?
Oh, for the seed fund, we have some seed fund, for example, related to the specific affinity for the elderly. You know, New Zealand, I think it's from different kind of countries, they get together for example, for Chinese, for example, for Korean, they have their society. So this kind of specific requirements can be, in terms of for research, they can be addressed using the seed fund. I think it's very open for the RTD research developer group in Corporate Age Center, which is very open for different kind of research topics. And every year actually could be quite different, depend on the what kind of a question will be proposed. Then we will have a panel to review and discuss the RDG researcher development groups. And every year around three, I don't know what exactly this year will be, how many will be funded. And the last year, I think it's around three. So I remember every project is about $10,000 to encourage this kind of in-depth or even pilot research project, research initiative.
And then I think the idea is if the pilot goes well, that it may then be eligible to seek greater research funding for a bigger project.
Larger research grant of research project, for example, HRC Health Research Council project, MBIE project, I think that's quite relevant. Even some other more specific funding agents.
Well, that sounds really interesting. And just looking at some of the projects so far, the aged care data reporting, the stroke outcome prediction, the AR enhanced stroke rehabilitation. This is stuff that will make an enormous difference, I think, with a population that's aging, to help us all age more healthily for longer, which I think is the idea, as we'd like to live a long time, but we'd like to live a healthy long time.
Yes. I think it's very important, not only the longer, but also longer with high quality.
Yeah, I would agree. So tell me, how, if a senior listening to this wanted to contribute to the research, I could see that there was a link on the website. Is that the C-Create website? Is that the best way to try and get involved?
I think yes. They can, through the website, they can join, and they can receive the event reminder. That's it, by visiting that website. Besides that, I think they can also attend, they have on-site corporate age event, and the working groups, they are welcome to attend this kind of activities. And also, we encourage actually they can contribute some ideas what are really needed through the COVID age networks. Even because we meet in the University of Auckland, and also the, I think there are a lot of clinical trials on the technology testing. This is also potentially a feasible way to get in touch with us.
That's fantastic. So for anyone listening, the Create Age website is ccreateage.auckland.ac.nz, and that has more information on there. If you are interested in being involved in the research, either as a senior or researcher, have a look on it and that website, and there is lots of information there on the stuff that is going on. It is really exciting. And can I thank you very much, Professor Wang, for all of your time. Is there anything else that you'd quickly like to share with the listeners?
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. What I want to encourage is that the senior audience to embrace the new technologies and also the artificial intelligence. We are gradually coming into the area of artificial intelligence. And I think the artificial intelligence driven healthcare and aged care are not replacing the human beings. We just want to increase or enhance this kind of quality of care, and then also reduce the cost. So the COVID Aging Center welcomes every senior to contribute their insights to our research. And the final thing I want to say is that AI in healthcare is still evolving, but it holds a very great potential for improving the aged care, brain health, and also the independent living. So all the seniors are encouraged to stay engaged and feel free to ask questions and also explore this kind of potential innovation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alan. I hope you have the best week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/senior focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.